Welcome to the Chris Ruggiero Podcast with your host, Chris Ruggiero.
You know her from YouTube and on Netflix in a film she wrote and stars in called Riley Rewind. Her YouTube videos are a refreshing blend of vlog style mixed with sketches. She's in the middle of releasing 12 short films this year. Her YouTube channel is coming up on 1 million subscribers and has over 72 million views. She is super busy, but she took some time out to chat with me about what she's up to. This week's guest is Anna Akana. We've been getting more listeners every week, so thank you to everyone who has been tuning in and spreading the word with friends through sharing on Facebook and all that. I know there are lots of options, and it's easy to get distracted on the internet taking quizzes to find your dream celebrity crush or whatever it is you're doing on the internet right now. So thank you for listening to my podcast. I'm working on getting more bigger names as guests, and the best way for me to do that is for you to help out by giving ratings and reviews on iTunes. So go do that now. And here's Anna. Enjoy.
Oh, life is busy, but in a good, productive way. Because I've been like busy just for the sake of being busy before, and that's a waste of time. So it's been good. I've just been focusing on creating short films, and I'm working on my musical act, and then auditions as they come by. And so I've taken on more of a filmmaker role than actress this past year, but it's been really rewarding to be able to like make content that I actually would want to see versus just playing like the geeky Asian girl with three lines in something. So it's been really oddly rewarding.
Yeah, so for people who might not know a whole ton about you, you kind of do a little bit of everything, like you just said. Now, where does your background come in from being, you know, everything from acting to directing to writing, capturing all of that? Where does that all come from? Like, where did you kind of get started in each one of those directions?
Well, when I was 19, my sister passed away when I was 17. And so when I hit 19, it was really like, oh, okay, what am I going to do with my life now? And I saw this Comedy Central stand-up special and I loved it. It was like the first time I like cracked up in 2 years. And so I was like, that's amazing. Like, I want to do that. So I just randomly started doing stand-up and I did that for like 2 to 3 years and I loved it. And I realized like, oh, I've always wanted to act. Like, I've always known that, but it always seemed like this unattainable dream. So I transitioned from stand-up into acting, and then I discovered that acting is really just waiting. So I started doing YouTube because it was just frustrating wanting to learn and wanting to be on camera and get better but not having the opportunity to. And YouTube went really well for me, so I've been pouring all that money into like making scripted story content versus just like a sketch here and there or a video where I half vlog, half act in it, and just really pouring all my energy into getting really good at making things. And so, yeah, it kind of all came about, I guess, from like a sad place. It's good then.
Yeah, so how long have you been on YouTube then? How many years ago did you start posting videos?
I had a sketch group called 10 Second Traumas about 3, 4 years ago. But our sketch group broke up, and so I started doing individual stuff about 2 years ago.
At what point between when you started and now did you realize that it was like really becoming like a thing where you have like a solid following and people are actually, you know, caring what you have to say?
I think recently, because it's such a slow progression. Like, it seems like yesterday was when I was getting like 2,000 views and being like, yeah, I'm going to hit 20,000 subscribers any moment now. And so it's been like that slow progression of when like a video hits and then you get like a bunch of traffic or some big YouTuber likes you and then pushes 1 million people your way. So just recently, now that I'm about to hit 1 million and like a bunch of blogs picked up one of my most recent videos, I feel like, oh, okay, I have an audience and I can like use this audience in like other aspects of my life.
Right. And that's 1 million subscribers, of course.
Yeah.
There's some people who would be very happy with 1 million views that are going on right now. And that's pretty amazing that there's 1 million subscribers that you have going on. So you're posting, you're doing all kinds of stuff, you know, between your videos and then now your short films, which I'd like you to chat about a little bit. But just in general, How do you stay motivated to kind of constantly be working and creating without getting, you know, overwhelmed or burnt out?
Well, I've always had like just an innate sense of ambition, of like the sense of like, I'm nobody and I want to be somebody. And so I think like naturally that's always just driven me. And like just recently, in the recent years, I'm trying to like see that more positively and still have it motivate me. You know what I mean? Like rather than get upset when I see someone who's like more successful and letting that drive me to like let that more inspire me and motivate me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. It's always been innately like that. And just being in this industry and seeing how hard a lot of people don't work has been really eye-opening, because it's like, wow, like literally 90% of my job is to show up and to do the job and to put in effort. Like you'd be surprised how many of my friends say, I want to do YouTube. And I'm like, I'll promote you, but you have to promise to like keep a schedule, and you have to prove to me that you can keep that schedule before I put any investment in you. And they can't do it, like, or they won't do it. And I think that's also been a big motivator as far as like, no, if you do the work and if you're committed, things happen. It's just a matter of fact.
Are there days when you want to do that, like, you know, kind of just not show up?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Every week I'm like, what the hell am I going to talk about? What am I going to do? But you just kind of, it's been so much of a routine now that it's much easier because it's ingrained.
Yeah. So how do you kind of prepare for that when you, you know, essentially get into character or something, or to create one of your videos, and say on a day, so there's probably people that are sitting out there that want to be, you know, a YouTube star or whatever, and it's hard for them to actually put the work in. Mm-hmm. And so what goes through, like you kind of just said, like just seeing that putting the work in does always kind of come out with a reward.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have to go in like in the morning? Do you have to have any like routine or anything to get into the mode of being, rather than like, you know, wake up, eat breakfast, and then turn into, you know, what the people, these millions of people see you as?
Well, the internet stuff, at least the weekly sketch blog type stuff, is more me. I'm trying to be as real as possible, because that's what really gets that audience to respond, is when you're real with them and when you're yourself with them. And it's a tad exaggerated, and sometimes I have to change certain aspects of my story to make it make sense in 2 minutes. But for the most part, what I put out there is me. And so when I am writing, every week I keep a journal of like, what am I going through? What am I feeling? And then I take whatever feels like the most passionate, and then I talk about it. So like my last video was about guys with yellow fever, because a friend of mine wanted to hook me up with this guy who was like obsessed with Asian culture, would only date Asian women. And it like really pissed me the fuck off. So I made like a minute video about it. So just simple things like that, that I feel like come from a passionate and honest place, and being really, really self-aware throughout the week of what exactly I'm going through.
Yeah. So a lot of your videos are very personal, and, you know, of course, like you just said, you know, you're kind of connecting with what is important to you at that time. Do you ever feel uncomfortable, or is there certain things that you don't release that are too, you know, personal for you, or make you feel too vulnerable to put out into the world?
I'm a pretty open person. Like for my family's white Christmas, like I brought a dildo for us to play in like the elephant game, and like I've never had a problem with going too far. But I have had that experience lately, especially with sponsors. I made a video called 5 Things I Wish I Knew in High School. And I'm very like pro pot, I'm pro drugs, I'm pro whatever you want to fucking do. If you're going to do it anyway, just be safe about it. Go have sex, whatever, just be safe about it. And the sponsor I had at the time pulled all of their ads. And so I lost like $42,000 in one morning that I could have put towards our films. And I was so mad at myself. But in the end, it was like, well, this is my legit opinion. I didn't break any contracts. I'm talking to the teens who are going to be doing this shit anyway, and it's something that I believe in. So it does come with certain pros and cons and learning of putting yourself out there so much. But so far, I haven't had any terrible things happen from it.
Yeah, and that's kind of... You know, it's like if somebody pulls their backing or whatever from you, it's like... Your following is because of how you are. And, you know, it's because of what you've, you know, kind of given yourself. And then for them to say, oh, we don't want this to be, it's kind of like annoying when you hear stuff like that. Because I guess where I'm going at is the reason why, you know, putting yourself out there and being vulnerable to, you know, you'll release who you actually are kind of gives a good connection for a lot of, especially young people, to see that, you know, especially if they're going through something, or to be able to connect with somebody that, you know, they might not have in their, you know, everyday life, but they have somebody, you know, on the internet that can connect there.
Yeah.
So being able to connect with these people on the internet, who do you think your target audience is? Ideally, if you could connect with a certain group of people, who would you like to be able to inspire or...
I'd say females, like young females. Like initially my audience was all females 13 to 17. But just recently, I've had an overwhelming majority of females 18 to 24. They're my primary audience now. And I actually really, really like that. Cause I'm like, oh, these women are around my age, and I can talk about things that maybe, or maybe not, they can relate to, and then I can get their opinion on. And sometimes I'll put something out and someone will put a comment that, like, I'm like, oh, fuck, I didn't think of it like that. And so I like the female audience. The male audience, especially on the internet, is just like so trolly and so perfect for the most part. So definitely young girls.
Have you had anybody, any like drama because of things like that on the internet? Like, do you get involved in reading your comments and stuff like that and let it affect you, or do you keep away from it?
I think it depends on the day. When I'm having like a really bad day, I won't let myself look at comments, because then you just validation to be like shit. But that hasn't been too bad. I mean, I have people like freaking Photoshop me into porn and like send that to me and like gross shit like that. But for the most part, I just like don't click on anything that they send to me.
Those are people that when you click on their profile, they have zero videos posted and, you know, four comments posted, and, you know, it's just being annoying.
Yeah.
So what is your ultimate goal in whatever you're doing, whatever, you know, aspect of acting, directing or writing or whatever it is that you're doing? What's your ultimate goal to give people?
I really love film and TV. So I'd say the ultimate goal is to be on a series that I believe in and to do movies that I'm really passionate about. I love sci-fi fantasy. So if I could be like a fucking vehicle of some kind of sci-fi film, like I'd be like, life made, goodbye. But yeah, that's been like the direction I've been going in, is filmmaking and acting.
What is your favorite person to watch on YouTube? Who is your favorite person?
Oh man, that's tough. I think I really like Community Channel. She's so endearing and so funny. I always get comments that are like, oh, you're like the American Community Channel, just not as funny. And I'm like, yes, that's me. Because she finds like such funny nuances in everyday life. And her comedy is so clean. It's so like you could show a child that and it would be funny and it's hilarious. And I think that's the hardest kind of comedy to do, is something that's not reliant on any vulgarity or any adult themes. Something that can make a kid laugh, I feel like, is just amazing. And so I love Community Channel.
Who else that you've met because of doing this stuff inspires you to keep creating and, you know, kind of gives you some extra inspiration?
Well, my ex, Ray, is a very hard worker, and he's like a completely different person than his online persona. So it was like we were incredible opposites. Like I would be like more myself, and he would be just this crazy caricature that was nowhere near him. And so it was interesting working together in that space, and him actually aspiring to be more of a traditional actor and a traditional producer, and doing YouTube as a way to support himself and to chase those dreams. And I loved that he was successful in both worlds. He would treat each platform differently. He would approach every project differently and factor everything in. Like a lot of people look at like a web series and they approach it like a vlog or something like that. And he recognized like, no, those are two separate things. Those are two separate their own expectations. And so he was really analytical about everything he approached and would micromanage every decision And I found it like really inspiring, and I was in awe of his work ethic. And so the 2.5 years we were together, I learned so much just about business, so much about professionalism and how exactly to tackle a project and how to be a better writer. And so I think he's going to be the most successful out of anyone who came from the original internet group.
What is your best memory of that's come out of being able to collaborate with other people and being able to connect with so many different people through the internet?
I would say this one girl who approached me and like cried. She was like this young girl who saw me at a store or someplace. And I think it was like the first time that I'd been recognized and someone had like a visceral, like emotional reaction. And she was just like, I love your videos so much. I was so depressed and I watch you when I'm sad and you're like the only thing that makes me laugh. And so I think having that connection meant more than having like a million views. Sorry, that's my cat. Because it's like, wow, like this is the one person that I'm really affecting. There's a screen between me and them for the most part. They just look like numbers and comments. And so to be able to see how you actually affected someone was probably the best part of it.
How much do you get recognized now when you're out in public?
Not often, like maybe once a week. Since I moved to Burbank, it's been a lot more for some reason. But it's cool when I do get recognized. I feel really special, and I especially if like the person works at, like I met a guy who worked at the yogurt factory, and so he gave me a discount, and I was like, yeah.
Does that affect you? Like when you do you are you like conscious about that? Like when you wake, like if you just have to like run to the store or something, you like concerned about like, you know, make sure you look appropriate or something? I've talked to some people who like it kind of weirds them out that like, oh, what if someone sees me and I'm just like, you know, like kind of sweaty and gross or something today? And like,
no, I think I don't get recognized enough for that. I mean, I assume if you ever get to like Jennifer Lawrence status fame, that would be like a major concern for you. But for everyone, it's fine at this point.
Now you are also doing your short films this year.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about that. How's that going? And what is the goal out of creating so many films this year?
Well, I just wrapped short film 5. I'm about 7 behind.
You're doing 12 for this whole year.
Yeah. Well, I took 2 months off to like find a new apartment, to move out, and to like deal with my own personal issues. So that really put like a big gap in between 4 and 5. But I wanted to do one a month at the time because I was like, oh, that's totally doable. I said, having never done a short film before. And now I realize exactly how insane it is. But it's been really good. I feel like every short film that comes out kind of tops the other in terms of like concept or special effects makeup and budget, especially budget. So it's been a good learning experience. And I feel like at the end of this year, I'll be so ready to tackle a feature. So I'm glad, even if I don't meet my goal of 12, I'm glad that I was striving for that many.
Yeah. How much responsibility in these films do you actually have?
Like everything.
So you're like really in charge of, you're like, you don't have other people kind of helping in any way. Well, of course, other people helping, but it's pretty much you tackling it.
Yeah, usually I have like, I rely on the crew, like the DP, the sound, the gaffers, the grip, like all those positions I kind of fill. I have a main producer I go to, Kaja. But for the most part, usually writing, acting, directing, editing, all that stuff falls on me. For the next couple shorts, I'm going to hire my brother to do the editing because my life has just gotten too crazy. But for the most part, I like editing because then that's like the silent director aspect of it, you know, and you can't really tell your story as a director if you're not hyper conscious of the edit and have seen every take and have shaved off every frame to make that pace flow. So it's been a very, very involved process.
Yeah, so, and going back to that, being that you have, you know, a lot of different talents, you just recently posted a video where you were singing and playing guitar, which was great. What other talents do you have that you are kind of working on besides, like, the common ones that we see? Do you have other things that you're working on or other goals that you'd like to accomplish with skills?
Yeah, I mean, I've always wanted to do a clothing line, so... Yeah. that's been a tiny bit on hold because of the move, but I'm getting back into it. And I've always wanted to do a, Megan and I do a comedy band. And so I've always wanted to do like a more serious band, but we just keep coming up with comedy songs. So I don't know if that'll ever happen. Yeah. So it's, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I'm pretty open about everything I do. I love aerial arts and I love painting and drawing and stuff like that. So it's been good. It's been all creative stuff.
Yeah, that's great. So what else can we look forward to seeing from you in the upcoming future, about besides of all the obvious stuff? Is there anything that you are kind of hiding up your sleeve that is going to be a secret reveal or anything?
Well, I am doing a film next year, but it's like a low-key rom-com that my friend wrote. And then I'm hiring some writers to do kind of a movie I want to do called Love and Monsters, which is sort of like Tim Burton meets Judd Apatow. And so it'll be basically this rom-com story set in a world of like actual monsters. So I'm really excited to do like prosthetics and to like dress everything up in crazy costumes. And yeah, super stoked for that.
Nice. What do you do as a... To constantly be improving and working on new stuff, what is your kind of take on improving and not becoming stuck in like the level that you're at?
Oh, wow. I think you know innately when you're kind of plateauing, and I think you know when you're not being challenged. And so I try to just do something in like a natural progression. So like the first short film I did, I didn't act in it because I was like, I've never directed and acted in something narrative drama before. So I should probably just direct and see how it's done. And then the next step is to like act as a co-star role. And then you act as a main role. And then once you have a short film that's like 4 minutes long, you're like, okay, next one I'll do is 7 minutes. Next one I'll do is 12 minutes. I feel good enough that I have 36 minutes behind me. I'll go do a movie. So I think taking small steps, because a lot of friends I know don't ever do those small steps. They like just go to that big thing when they're not prepared for it. And to know where your weaknesses are, because I'm not the best writer. I'm a much better like editor. I can see what's wrong with the script and tell someone how to fix it. I'm a terrible writer. So I always make sure like my personal assistant is a writer. So I'm like, hey, look at my script, make it better. Tell me how to fix this. And to know exactly where and who you can plug and play into your life to amplify your work and to make you look a lot better than you actually are.
So what advice do you have for people, young people coming up that are trying to create something, whether it be become popular on YouTube or become an actor or whatever they're trying to do? What do you think is the take-home advice for people?
I think starting is the hardest part, and then maintaining. So if you want to be an actor, just start acting. If you want to make videos, just start making videos. I get a lot of comments like, what kind of camera should I buy? What kind of mic should I buy? And it's like, if all you have is an iPhone and that's all you can afford, use that and just learn from that. Use whatever you have and just start doing it, because eventually you'll get to a point where you're like, oh, fuck, like I could do much better than this. And then you're motivated to do so because you've been doing the same old thing for so long, especially because we get used to things so quickly. I think if you're just naturally attracted to the entertainment industry, the more you do this one thing and work on it, the sooner you'll reach the next thing.
Do you have anything else to add that you'd like to share or plug for the people to know about what you're up to or anything?
Riley Rewind is out on Netflix now. So if you haven't seen it, you can watch it on Netflix.
Oh, yes. We didn't really touch on that. Talk a little bit about that. Give them a little synopsis of what that's about.
Riley Rewind, I wrote the script like so long ago, it's terrible, but hopefully you'll like it because it's got animation in it. But it's about a girl who, with the ability to rewind time, who tries to save a classmate from committing suicide. And so it was based on my personal feelings of my sister's suicide and like that sense of wanting to save somebody with your ability. And it came out really cute and quirky. The acting is a little campy. But I'm really proud of it. It's like the 45-minute thing that Runaway Machine, my company, did. And yeah, and then when we got on Netflix, it was like, this is legitimacy. So we're really excited about that one.
Cool. That's good for me, unless you have any final words.
Adopt cats.
Yes, as you have cats running all over the place. Thank you so much for joining me today and chatting.
Of course, Chris. Thanks for having me on. Awesome.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Go check out Anna Akana on YouTube and Riley Rewind, available on Netflix. And follow me, as always, on Instagram. I'm at One Man Variety.
Thank you for listening to the Chris Ruggiero podcast.
This song is ridiculous. I feel like I'm in a nightclub. Okay, bye.